For average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
I'm the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Boselli. They said fly the planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's true. Everybody
else has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me.
I don't remember little peons like John.
That's not true. I remember you, Pete.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
Here we go, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer down in South Florida with us. The Jags win. They win 30-24 over the Seattle Seahawks to improve to 9-4, first place in the AFC South. And a win away. A win
away.
Fellas. No, uh-oh. No. Come on, Pete. Come on, that's in the past, man. We're not going there.
Uh-oh.
A win this week, Pete and Tony, and the Jags are in. A playoff would be clinched. Playoff berth with a win over the Texans.
I mean, listen, it was a huge win for
Tony.
So many
once
reasons.
Upon a time, that seemed like a good prize, but now that would be just that's not good enough, right, for that team?
What do you think their goal? What's their goal, Pete?
The big enchilada now.
You think so?
No, absolutely. Should be. If Blake Bortles continues to play the way he played the last 2 weeks, they can beat anybody in a game. Now, that's a big if, but, I mean, why couldn't they? The offensive line,
the Seahawks
vaunted pass rush didn't come near them.
That pass rush, though, the last couple of weeks has not been that good.
No. Bennett didn't, where was Michael Bennett on the day?
Michael Bennett was bad on film last week, too, Pete.
We saw him in the final 10 seconds. That's the only time we saw
him. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. I want to hear Pete's comments on that. But I mean, you talk about the whole enchilada, Pete. So I'm going to give you five teams, and you give me the percentage, the odds that they go to Minneapolis, all right?
A lot of math here.
Ready?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll give you them first, and then we'll go one by one. New England, Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, Chargers, Chiefs.
75% for the Patriots.
Okay.
Okay.
I think it's low, but go ahead.
35% for the Steelers. Well, we got it. Did they have to add up to 100?
No,
I mean,
no. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, technically, yes, they should.
Yes,
okay. So I'll give the Patriots 65%. I'll give the Steelers 15. I'll give the Chargers and Jaguars each 10. That leaves what? Another
five,
right? Yeah,
I think maybe or
yes, five. That's right.
Five to the Chiefs.
That equals 100. Yes. Well done, Pete.
So,
would you agree with those? Would you agree with that?
I'd probably 10%
chance?
I would probably make the I would make the Patriots higher.
So you think they're almost a lock to go to the Super Bowl then?
I'd say 75-80% Patriots.
Okay, so if you give them 75, then what are you going to give the Steelers?
I give all the rest of them equal. Let's say 75 for the
Patriots.
Patriots, I'd give the Steelers and the Chargers 10% each, mm-hmm. and the
that takes you to 95.
I'm sorry. Splitting five.
The Steelers and the Jaguars 10 each, and I give the Chargers 5%, and I give the Chiefs 0 because their defense is atrocious.
That I don't think the Chiefs have a chance. I think the Chargers go in there and beat them this week.
I do too. But so that's my that's the percentages I'd say of making it to Indianapolis. Or not Indianapolis, Minneapolis.
So you think the Jaguars have just as good a chance as the Steelers?
Yeah.
As the Chargers.
No, as the Steelers. I have the Steelers and the Jags at the same, Chargers at 5%.
You don't think the Chargers are better than the Jaguars? I do.
Well, you said they were equal too, dummy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your point?
Well, they got a rougher way to get to the playoffs. That's what my point is.
How is it any rough? If they both get in, how they're both one's a 3 seed, one's a 4 seed.
Right, but they're not in. Jacksonville wins this week, they're in. The Chargers win this week, they're not in. So it's an easier road for Jacksonville,
right,
to get in.
And who do the Chargers have left? They have the Chiefs, the Raiders, and somebody else, and someone bad. Jets.
Yeah. If the Chiefs win, if the Chargers win this week, I think they're in. They'll get in. I mean, because the Chiefs are in trouble if they lose.
It's in this order: at Chiefs, at Jets, and then home against the Raiders for the Chargers the rest of the way.
They're going to get in, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I think they win this week. That Chiefs defense is not stopping Phillip Rivers.
No, and they got good pass rushers, which is never.
Casey Hayward's a good corner, by the way.
Fight as good as anybody in the league, not named Jalen Ramsey, probably.
And Boye.
Or A.J. Boye.
Mm-hmm. So we've got plenty to get to tonight. The offense looked fantastic in the second half. Blake Bortles, what a game. The defense had their moments.
Just stop real quick. Yes. Before we go, going back to my comments of percentages, I mean, how laughable would it have been, you know, 10 weeks ago, 12 weeks ago, to talk about what are the percentages of going to Minneapolis?
It would have been zero, minus zero, minus zero, to the times 5,000, zero. I mean, yeah, I mean, that thing, you didn't think they'd win five games, right?
How many teams are better than the Jaguars? I mean, if you were sitting there, neutral field, head-to-head matchup, how many teams would you pick over the Jaguars?
Patriots.
Okay, one.
Not the Eagles anymore.
No. Mm.
Vikings? No. No. Who?
How about the Rams?
No.
They already beat them once.
They're the same.
I'd rather
they got special teams.
I'd rather play the Rams and the Chargers right now.
Yeah. You'd rather play the Rams than the Saints, wouldn't you?
Yes, the Saints with Kamara healthy scare though, that's a scary team.
Right.
But yeah, I guess there's only one team that I'd like for sure say, without a doubt, I'm picking over the Jags. It'd probably be in New England. It's the only team I could think of. I mean, I'll play Pittsburgh. We'll play them again.
I saw them getting on the bus today before I came over here. They're in my hotel, the Patriots.
Yeah. Now, the Vikings, I think they're a scary team, too. Panthers, I play the Panthers.
How about the Falcons? The Falcons can get on a run.
Falcons offensively, Pete. I'm telling you, I saw them firsthand. They are not very good.
But when they had to make the plays, they made the plays.
Well, no, it was the run game. They got to get Devontae Freeman going because the pass game is not very good right now.
All right.
But anyways, so I just think it's funny.
It is. It's hilarious.
It is. It's comical to think where we were in the beginning of the season talking about this team, if they could block anybody, remember?
Oh, I was
thinking, they get to seven wins this
year?
Oh,
gosh. I mean, Pete
Eight would be awesome.
Pete had him at six.
I had him at six. I had him at six.
Well, the defense is better than we even thought it was going to be. And Blake,
I
mean,
busted coverages.
And I tried to find out who the pinpoint, get someone to say whose fault it was. And I've watched the tape multiple times, Pete. And I can't decide if it's Barry Church or Jalen Ramsey.
On which one? There were a couple busts.
So on the first one, the first touchdown after the turnover where I think it was Baldwin.
That was Baldwin crossing the formation.
Right.
That looked like pause was
no, that
to
wasn't pause. That was either because it was three deep and it was a over route. And I think maybe it was. I don't know. But Jalen didn't look like he got in his deep third. It looked like he got sucked up underneath.
Well, maybe.
So, I don't know. And Barry Church was chasing him. So I don't know who – it's zone coverage. So you don't ever want to just say, well, it's this guy's fault. It's somebody's fault. The coaches
tape,
can tell us.
If you watch that tape, you can see pause – spinning around trying to get back. Now, he can't be responsible in that cover three for that, but he should have been deeper, I think.
And then I think the first long pass to Paul Richardson was just he just turned around Boye. He beat Boye. I think they were in cover two, and he made a double move off the safety and got Gibson just turned around. So I think that was good. And then on the third one, the second long pass with the third touchdown, I can't decide if it's – on the other side of the field, AJ's Boye's playing deep third,
usually in that situation it should be another deep third.
You would think
third.
Jalen sits on the route underneath, and the inside receiver goes vertical, and it looks like Barry Church is in no man's land and is surprised that he's running free and tries to catch up. So I don't know whose fault it was. I don't know if it was a misidentification by Barry Church, or if Jalen got caught sneaking a look in.
One thing though, in that play, because John Beeson, a former NFL linebacker, works with me, he thought Paz should have got his hands and helped redirect them in that.
Maybe
in that situation.
But yeah. Even if he redirects them, someone's got to cover him.
Yeah, but he didn't. You know, he ran right by him. And I don't know if that's the case.
I don't
Maybe
either.
That defense is not.
My point is, I'm not going to say whose fault it was, but I know this. It needs to get cleaned up.
Why don't they play more straight man? I don't get that to me.
I think they do a lot more usually, Pete. I don't think they wanted to play as much man. They wanted to play more zone, so they didn't turn their back to Russell Wilson and allow him to scramble. Because you know, if you're in man and he gets loose, he's running for a long time.
Right.
That's my only. No one's told me that. That's my guess. So,
but I still think at some point this season, I don't know when they'll do it. Maybe it'll be New England if they play them, but they're going to play more press bump man coming up at some point.
Well, on the fourth and eight,
they could do it.
On the fourth and eight for the game, they got in press and blitzed.
Yeah,
and they got away with the hole.
That's what I mean. That kind of play right there, Tony. That kind of play right there. That's the kind of situation I think you'll see more of. You're right.
And they got away with one, though, Pete.
Yeah, because why didn't he throw to that spot? That was the spot you throw to. If he throws to that area, that's called, right? That's a
I don't know. How did the official miss it?
I don't know, because he got beat.
I was happy. But it's an amazing situation. A couple things. I mean, we just said how laughable it would have been 12 or 14 weeks ago, whatever it was, talking about this team having one of the favorites go to Minneapolis out of the AFC. Another thing that would have been laughable Sunday morning, if you'd have told me that the total points in the game against the Seahawks would be 54.
Well, it was 3-0 at the half.
That's what I'm saying. It was crazy. The second half was nuts. The way the first half played, I thought, first 1-10 is going to win. And the total, look at we got the total yards up on the board if you're watching online. The Jags haven't given up 400 yards all year. I'm not sure how many times they've got a total of 425. But
Wilson had 36 yards passing in the first half.
Yeah, they weren't doing anything.
It's unreal.
See, that's what happens when you get busts, though. Those are to me, those are accidents.
Happened. You'd be worried, Pete, if you got beat by your just
Correct.
Got beat.
Right. But that's 2 weeks in a row, Tony.
That does worry me.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row for major busts.
So that's one of two things. They got too much stuff in, and they need to pare it down, or guys aren't, doing their homework and they're not ready. It's one of the two. Because it's, 1 week, it happens. 2 weeks in a row. Start seeing the trend.
Hey, guys, we got to go back and do a little math check. We had a fact check. People on Twitter have chimed in about the addition of Pete's numbers of teams going to the Super Bowl. Chances, percentage
No,
chance,
he,
right?
I was going to say it only adds up to 95.
Well, it went to 105. 65 plus 15 plus 10 plus 10 plus 5, that's 105.
Yeah, is that what I said? I don't think that's what I said.
That's what you said. Just change New England.
All right, well, take the 5% off of the Chiefs because they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Okay, well, you guys are equal then. There you have it. Hey, let's come back and get into this offense a bit. Blake Bortles, what a day for the Jags quarterback yesterday. Fournette looked healthy. The offensive line's rolling again.
Pete, they're going to have a hard decision in the offseason.
They are going to, right? Well, if he keeps playing like that, it's not going to be a hard decision. It'll be an easy decision.
We'll break it all down when we come back. We're off and running. Your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL-1. Tony Vaselli, Twitter question of the night. Pro Football Focus grades as well around the corner.
Headset too, by the way. It's awful.
Thanks, Tony. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
We ran the ball well, which is a credit to the guys up front, tight ends, the running backs. Did a nice job. I thought that we had a pretty clean pocket, throughout the game. And everyone knows they have an excellent pass rush. I thought our young receivers kind of stepped up. I mean, they made some big plays out there, along with Marquise Lee. So that was really good to see. Those guys have really been working hard. To make plays like that on Sunday. That stuff just doesn't occur. They're talented individuals, but you got to work extremely hard against good defense. So I thought from that standpoint, it felt very comfortable. When we can run the football and we could have a clean pocket.
There's Doug Marrone in the postgame last night after the Jags won 30-24 over the Seattle Seahawks. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday continues. Your calls in the second hour, 355-NFL1. Blake Bortles Day yesterday. How many times this year have we said, oh, it's the best outing he's had, at least this season, if not longer than
you guys,
than
I've only said it once.
Oh, one time, huh? Okay. How about
that
this
was the
time?
That was the best game he's ever played as the Jaguar. It's the best game he's ever played as an NFL
this
player,
one.
Without a doubt. Not even close.
He made big throws in big situations.
Against a real defense.
Against a really good defense.
The Colts aren't a real defense.
123.7 rating, 18-27, 268, two touchdowns. And when the game was starting to slide away a bit, it was a 10-10 ball game. First place, 75 yards
down
the
field.
Wait a
second. What do you mean the game was starting to slide
away?
Well, no,
it was 10-0. You felt like this defense was playing pretty well at that
point. No, I don't think it was 10-0. It was 10-3.
Was it? They had a lead.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Did you watch the same game I was watching, Tony?
Yeah, you're right. 10-0, 10-3, and then they fumbled.
It was 10-0, then it was 10-3, then it was 10-10 off the turnover.
So 10-10 off the turnover. They had some momentum. And then he throws it to Cole, 75 yards, a great throw, catch.
No, oh, absolutely. But I'm saying, I never felt like the game was slipping away. I did feel like it was important for the offense to answer in that drive, which they did in a huge way. And the ball Blake threw was perfect, and it was a great catch by Cole to catch the back half of the football and just run through it. I mean, that's not an easy play, but both by Blake and Cole, and a great call by. I thought the other thing that we probably should talk about is Nathaniel Hackett's called the heck of a game.
He did.
I thought he was outstanding.
We talk about that every week.
Well, they threw a lot on first down, too.
Yep.
They did, which we talked about in the pregame that they needed to. I thought the run game was
I think somebody on this program has been screaming that for a couple weeks.
We both have been saying it, by the way.
Yeah, don't take credit for my ideas.
Okay, fine. You can have the idea. But I said in the pregame two things. Be aggressive on early downs, but you still have to. You better run the ball better than you have been. If you're averaging under 3 yards a carry with your backs, you're going to lose. Because when you throw on first down, you're going to get some second and tens. And you need to be able to get three or four to get to third medium. And they were in a lot of third and mediums. And that was a big deal, I thought. The offensive line was out of control good. They had one hit on the quarterback all day, and it was a completed pass in the first quarter. Other than that, Blake Bortles did not get touched.
Bennett
and it was not even
play.
A hard hit.
Right? Bennett hit him on that play.
Bennett, yeah.
He
beat A.J. Cannon on an outside move. He was outstanding all the way around. He was accurate, made some great plays. The whole offense, I thought, played – I thought the MVP was the offensive line and Bortles together. They both played at an extremely high level. With all that said, well, two things. One – it makes it. Blake is playing in a manner that gives you a chance to make a run, like we talked about the last segment, to Minneapolis. He's playing in a manner that's going to make it. If he keeps on playing this way, it won't be a decision to be made. The only decision will be: do you just have him play for the $19 million, or do you lock him up to a long-term deal? I would have him play for the $19 million to do it back-to-back years because you always still have a franchise. You can lock him up later.
That's what I would do.
If it's up and down. Well, then you have a decision. What do you do with them? But I don't think that's the pattern we're seeing now is not up and down. With all that said, Pete, the throw he made that should very easily could have been a pick six and lost the game for them, and we'd have a completely different narrative right now on the crossing route with about 3 minutes left that he never should have thrown. He threw very late. The guy was almost to the other sideline, and Byron Maxwell undercut it. I believe it was D.D. Westbrook. He undercut him. And it was fortunate that did not go the other way for six. If that happens, we're back to the same conversation of the last couple times in the fourth quarter they lost games or they beat the Chargers. But in the Chargers, he made bad
picks.
Arizona, where he made a mistake in the fourth quarter. And that was – which I don't understand why he throws it.
No, that was a bad
throw. He played so well. And there was actually two plays in the fourth quarter. For the first time all day, he gets a little jumpy in the pocket as he's climbing the pocket. If he just sits there, he has a wide-open Leonard Fournette that might score or get way down the field, but he is jumping around and is lobs it, and it's all over the place. That was the
out of the backfield where he overshot it by about 10 yards.
That one, and then I think a series or two later, he almost gives the game away.
He must have been jumpy in the pocket because he was watching Russell Wilson all day.
But you know what I'm saying, Pete? That's what concerns
the consistent,
you.
Yeah, but you know that happens in a lot of games, though, Tony. And I get it. But you can go back and look at some of the, you know, there's always these passes that should have been intercepted and they're not.
No, but whatever. I get that. But the late crossing route.
Yeah, that was
bad. It was so late. You can't throw it. You just throw it away at that point.
Who's the linebacker?
Yeah, any what?
Who was the backup linebacker?
No, it was Byron Maxwell.
It was Maxwell.
Yeah, okay. It was Maxwell.
Yeah.
And he played so well.
He was almost to the sideline when he threw.
Yes.
It.
Yeah. And he played so well the entire game. I mean, like, out of control, good football. Like, fun to watch. This is like franchise guys that lead you to Super Bowl type of football he played. He outplayed Russell Wilson, by the way, by far, up until that moment.
Don't mention that on Twitter like I did last night. The Seattle crowd came at me.
But he did, Pete.
He did.
I don't think he threw,
did.
I don't think he threw three picks.
There's not even an argument. There shouldn't be an argument about that.
Well, he has four touchdown passes and no picks in the last two games, and he's thrown for 550-something yards.
He is playing at such a high level. I discount the Colts because I don't think they're a very good team at all. Huge props for the game against Seattle because they are good.
Okay, here's something right now. Ready? Mm-hmm. He's the best quarterback in the division right now.
Yep. By far.
Yep.
Not
he's
even
the best
close.
He's the best quarterback. And here's the other one. Somebody mentioned this to me. Of all the guys that the Jaguars took heat for drafting him and not taking, in other words, the year they took him, they could have taken who? Derek Carr?
They could have taken Mac that pick and Derek Carr at the top of the round.
Bridgewater?
Well,
or Bridgewater.
Bridgewater.
Or Manziel.
Okay. Let's
By the
go
way, he's playing better than Carr right now, too.
Carr. He is. Okay. Then the next year it was who? Winston and Mariota?
Mm-hmm.
He's playing better than both of those guys.
Yep.
So, I mean, look, we're not – when you – the one thing about Blake is that, like that pass late in the game, Tony, until he proves he can do it consistently for four or five games, there's always going to be he's playing really well / for Blake.
I'm not even – I'm okay if that pass is thrown in the first quarter.
Right.
I mean, I've seen Drew Brees. You see Drew Brees make late throws and bad decisions. You see the best of them do it, but you can't do it in the fourth quarter.
But Tony, don't you agree with me though?
Yes.
If he until he does it for three or four games, it's always going to be he's playing really well for Blake,
which is unfair. Now, the other side of it, Pete, which I don't understand, because he must have, and I guess I know he has had some really bad games this year. He's still 21st in passer rating in the NFL.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But he's
Is that
pretty
right?
darn good on first. He's pretty darn good on first down.
I mean, how many quarterbacks are playing better than him in the AFC right now?
Oh, the quarterback in New England. Yeah, you heard of him,
Big Ben.
Big Ben's playing great.
Big Ben, him, Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers playing great.
Rivers. Yeah, that.
Who's playing remarkably better? I mean, outside of those guys right there.
Well, Alex Smith has been really good the last couple weeks. He's been really good the last couple weeks.
Alex Smith,
for all the stuff that he takes, he's been really good the last couple weeks. But again, I go back to what I've look. If they had played a similar style of offense against the Rams, they probably win that game. In other words, they don't try and run into a brick wall the entire game. They probably win that.
I do put that game on Nathaniel Hackett a little bit. Because he's been much better since then, by the way, too. I thought he was way too conservative and did not have an answer for what they gave him.
By the way, Leonard Fournette looked healthy yesterday. Healthier.
Early in the game, I thought as the game went on, he got healthier,
yeah.
Is what I saw.
Yeah.
Because early in the game, there was and Antonio might remember this, there was a hole and he missed it. And it was like a 6-yard gain, but it should have been like a 15-yard gain. Do you remember what I'm talking about, Tony? It was really blocked well.
Yes.
He kind of got... And I think the backside guy got off his man late and made the tackle. He should have got through there.
I still think his ankle must be bothering him because he's not making some cuts at times in the holes that we saw earlier.
But boy, when they needed him late in the game, he was there.
Outstanding.
Delivered.
Outstanding.
That's what you do in the NFL. You run, you throw to score, and you run to win. That's the formula right there.
Well, they did. That last third down pickup was huge.
Awesome.
I mean, that one, I was like, oh, my gosh, we're going to give the ball back to Russell Wilson. I'm like, oh, I'm holding my breath.
Hey, let's come back and get into the defense a bit. Three takeaways yesterday for this Jaguars team in the win over the Seattle Seahawks. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. It's Jaguars Monday, Jaguars Victory Monday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, early on in the week, we'll work on tough catches, but manageable ones. And then later in the week, you know, we're throwing balls up there. It's like a highlight show, you know what I'm saying, with our DBs. I mean, they're, you know, their hands are unbelievable. I really, when I see a ball in the air, tipped or a ball's going around or them breaking on a football, I really believe they're always going to get it. And that comes from the way they practice. I mean, those guys, their hands are unbelievable. You know, normally guys that can't play receiver go to DB. That's like the joke, you know what I'm saying, around like offensively. But I think all of our guys can probably go play receiver. You know, I do, and that's a credit to them. They do have really good hands.
There's Doug Marrone in a press conference today at Everbank Field. Players are off today. Victory Monday. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, and Pete Prisco down in South Florida. Your calls in the second hour. Three more interceptions. A.J. Boye is now tied for the league lead in picks. He has six
yeah.
for the year. Ramsey got his fourth. He's not far behind. A handful of other guys have a lot of picks this year.
How many picks do we have on the year now, JP?
19, I believe. Yeah.
And that's way in front. Right?
Oh, no, they're second in the league.
Really?
Who's Baltimore's got 20.
Oh, that's right. They started off with like 10 the first 2 weeks.
That's right. They got hot. And so it's a group that's taking the ball away. That's what you want from this group. And they've done it all year consistently, game after game.
Well, they're an outstanding unit, and it's an outstanding. They got a pass rush. They're a little shaky against the run at times. That comes and goes throughout a game, but overall, it's very difficult to drive the ball against this team. And outside of blown coverages, when's the last time someone put together a long drive and scored a touchdown? I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, they've had too many busts lately, and there was little run fits it looked like they were having problems with at times. Particularly, what was it, late in the second quarter,
yeah,
Tony,
that drive right before half. They had like four in a row where Davis broke off some long runs.
Yeah, they got out leveraged a couple times. The end got reached, Dante Fowler. Yeah, they did. They just got out leveraged and poor gap control, bad run fits.
Yeah, he went for 21, 13, 10, and 5 in four consecutive runs.
That's why I said it showed – they get soft just every once in a while. It gets it, you know, out of nowhere, it seems. It's like they're dominating. They can't get an inch, and then all of a sudden they get a play here or there, and they get on a little bit of a roll. But it's just very difficult to drive the length of the field against this team unless they make an error. But the problem is we've seen errors the last 2 weeks in pass coverage. Busted guys. It's the only way teams have really scored, put up points. And that's why some of the players in the locker room said, listen, it should have been 30-3. We should have blown them out. And I can see where they're saying, and you can say that, and it's not that I disagree, but you can't bust. You can't have mental errors. That will get you beat, and it'll get you beat in the playoffs, and guess what? You don't get a second chance at that point.
But Tony, you said something about a lot of stuff in. Isn't basically the defense as a whole, the way they play it, is not a complicated defense?
Well,
that's the whole gist of the Seattle defense back in the day, was it was simple, they repped it, they just did what they did, and they did it really well. And this is kind of a Seattle defense. Are they doing more?
They're doing a lot more, Pete, this year.
Yeah. So you think that's the problem then?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not at practice. All I can do is go by the tape the last 2 weeks where you have busts. Now, I had a great question. I'm not going to make it the Twitter question of the night because it's early in the show.
Really?
You know, you've seen those busts ever since Telvin went out.
Is that it?
Is that part of the reason? I don't know. I mean, you wouldn't think on the back. The back half, you know, where you have safeties and corners not on the same page, that would be because of the linebacker. I mean, maybe it is. I don't. I'd be shocked if that was it. One for sure. The first one in Arizona was because Telvin was off the field. So maybe one of the four busts we've seen the last 2 weeks, you could put towards that. But they're doing a lot more than they've done in the past. They're doing a lot. They're playing a lot more quarters, more too high safety looks, And so in the past they've been predominantly a closed field defense, meaning a single high safety, and playing a lot of three deep and man. They still do that. I think that's still their leading coverage. But now they're playing a lot of split safeties looks or open field. where you get the two high safeties and they're either playing two or four and doing some combinations off of it. And
well, that's when you get good and you can handle the run game with your front, then you don't have to bring the other safety down.
Right, but Seattle, when they could stop the run with the front, they still would go that cover three because they just man up, and that's what they did. I mean, you go watch games when they were at their best, they would do nothing but that for almost the entire game.
And Chancellor played like the extra linebacker is what he was in that defense. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah, and so Todd Wash is added
and
stuff.
He's sitting there, yeah.
Right, but
yeah.
Todd Wash is added stuff like any coordinator does.
Well, because there was always the talk that they had started figuring that out a little bit, Tony, that teams had figured out that if they're going to run that straight cover three a lot of the way they did, then they'd run those four verticals.
And deep overs.
You know, yeah, so and that, you know, that's they got hit on a deep over, like you said, that defense yesterday.
Yeah, they did yesterday. I mean, they got cover three, the deep over, the ball, the long pass to Keelan Cole is a deep over route. KJ Wright was slow in reacting, was playing chase, couldn't get there. Perfect throw, and the rest is
and
history.
Thomas made a bad play on that play too.
Yeah, he should have not. Usually, steps. You see him knock that guy out of bounds. So, but you can't have those busts. And so, when I say it's either too much or the guys aren't studying, it's one of the two. I mean, unless there's a third situation, I'm not sure of. But what else do you account it to? And so that's something that Todd Wash and Perry Fuel, the secondary coach, are going to have to clean up, and the guys are going to have to clean up. And they mentioned it yesterday. They talked about in the locker room that, you know, they had some busts in the second half and allowed the team, allowed the Seahawks to get back into it.
Tony, the deep over that Cole had, that the reason you don't, people always go, well, why don't people do that to the Seahawks all the time? Well, normally in the past, your quarterback's getting hit. You don't have time to.
Yeah, it takes time. That's a long developing play because you do it off a play action pass first of all because you're right. Faking the handoff to hold those linebackers, so it takes them longer to recover, and then you create that gap and that deep over puts you got a corner who has the outside guy and you have the safety who's center field player and that deep over kind of splits them and there's no one there to pick up that route.
Because the corner is sitting on the outside route.
That's
on this
right.
Side.
Because he never sees the deep over.
Right, and the linebacker in that case was right. Probably I haven't seen the 22.
He took a false step. He stepped up.
Step,
yes,
and then he was spinning around trying to get back into that. That's even if he doesn't spin around. That's a tough coverage for a linebacker to get that depth.
So the long pass, the Jags do it all the time. Telvin's outstanding at it, and even the long pass to Baldwin, where he pushed off Puz. And everyone goes, why is Puz covering Baldwin down the field? It was a deep over. Puz ID'd it perfectly and ran with him and was in perfect coverage. And it was clear pass interference with Baldwin stiff arms Puz to create the separation to catch the ball that I'm not sure he ever caught
it. Yeah, no, it moved.
Right.
Yeah.
It should have been offensive pass interference before anything. And so you can do it. And teams do it all the time.
You play that coverage with the idea that your pass rush is good enough to get home. That's when you play that coverage. You're right. You got to be able to get home.
Well,
that's why teams haven't been able to hit those against Seattle in the past. And if you're Jacksonville, you think your pass rush is good enough.
Well, but you're also comfortable. I mean, Puz covered it perfectly, and you're comfortable with Telvin running with that deep over route.
And KJ Wright is fantastic at it, running with the deep
And he just took a false step. It was great play action pass. They'd hit him with a couple runs. They came up, got over the top, and it was a nicely executed play.
All right, we're going to come back. We'll hit some special teams nuggets yesterday, hot and cold.
Bad early, good late.
And we'll get into the late game situation, the kneel down victory formation, the aftermath of that, and a statement from the Jaguars today as well. This Sunday, the Jags return to Everbank Field. A win, and they're in. The Houston
That's
Texans.
That's right, baby.
Are coming here for the playoff push. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I knew we were coming to that type of battle. We're going against this team. Like I said, when they score, you know, me just motivating Blake, the team. Just knowing that, man, it's going to be a fight now. We have to fight back. They're a great team, competitive. But you see towards the end of the game, man, nobody likes losing. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, that's my teammate. I'm not going to let nobody trying to bully us. You know, I don't care who you are. You know, like I said, we practice with each other. Like I said, I told these guys I would never let anything happen to them. Like I said, these are my brothers, and just protecting them. Just not the old Jaguars team. We're not pushovers, so I mean, we're going to fight back.
That's Leonard Fournette. Got into it with Michael Bennett after Bennett tried to roll up on Brandon Linder twice and then jumped on him after that. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shattuck, Tony Vasile.
He'll be hearing from the league office, by the way, JP.
Think so, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So Leonard will?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
We didn't punch him.
That doesn't matter.
I kind of liked it. You have to go defend your guy, right?
Let me back up. Let me start here.
Let's start with the Bennett stuff.
It's Bush League chicken bleep stuff. What Michael Bennett did. So the first part of it is, you know, he rolls in.
Okay, BS.
Thank you. Thanks, let's say he was actually doing what him and Pete Carroll said, just trying to swipe the football. If he stops right there, it's probably not that big a deal. You might be a little pushing and shoving, not a big deal. But then he goes, as Linder's standing there on top of him after the play's over, grabs and tries to twist the knee of Brandon Linder and throws him to the ground. At that point, Brandon Linder, in my opinion, has the right to beat the hell out of Michael Bennett with zero ramifications. Actually, you should get a bonus from the league because you have every right at that point to just lose your mind. And Leonard Fournette had every right to do what he did. And my favorite was Cam Robinson. He had to be like held back by 15 guys because he wanted to kill somebody. And I am fine with it because that was cheap. He should be suspended for a game. If Gronk's suspended for what he did, he should be suspended for a game. And there's no place in the NFL of guys purposely trying to twist and take the knee of a fellow competitor after the play out. Zero place.
Okay, I couldn't see it from the TV tape. So who dove from the right side into the – was that Bennett?
Bennett dove, and Sheldon Richardson came off like a madman trying to run people over.
Okay. So was he over there? Who was over the left guard? Who was that? Was that
Sheldon Richardson?
Okay. And Bennett dove into the ball, and then he grabbed his leg and twisted it underneath the pile.
And tackled. No, not in the pile.
After Linder's trying to walk away.
Yeah. He grabs it, twists it, and tackles him down.
So, okay. First off, they're wrong for diving at the kneel down. That's classless in my mind.
Yep.
We saw it with Greg Schiano. Greg Schiano did it and got ripped to shreds for it when he did it. Remember where Michael Bennett played for? I think he played for Greg Schiano, if I'm not mistaken, at the time. So he's seen that before. It's a bad look. Then to grab a guy's leg, awful look. Who did Richardson punch, by the way? Did you see it off the 22, Tony?
He's swinging. He was punching a bunch. He's just swinging.
Okay. Well, why was Cam Robinson? There was something happened to Cam Robinson that he was so mad.
He was mad that his fellow offensive lineman knee got twisted and taken down, and Sheldon Richardson was acting like an ass coming off the ball. That's what he was mad about.
He was hyperventilating almost. Did you see?
Yeah,
they
took him out of the game. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this. I liked it.
Yeah, no, I liked it too.
You don't let them do that to you. You do not let
no,
it happen.
Heck no. Uh-uh. No, heck no. No,
I don't care who they are.
Let that happen.
I've gotten in fights on the football field, and I'll be honest with you, I don't regret one of them.
No, that was you had to do that. But then Jefferson does it on the very next play.
Because he's a dummy, too.
And then, I think on the last one, doesn't Jaron Reed do it a little
bit? No, it was
Pete had come out and said, out hey, and yelled guys, at everybody. Stop, and got the penalty, and then they stopped. So
that's right. But okay, so then Jefferson gets tossed and goes to the sideline.
And people start throwing stuff.
Well, he was getting mouthy there. And they mouthed back at him, and then the stuff came out of the crowd.
That's right.
That's when he decided, okay, throwing things in a stadium, not good. Player going into the crowd, even worse. Okay?
So let me ask you a question. The throwing of a bottle or anything like that is just no place. Aren't we okay with popcorn getting thrown?
No, we're not. And the Jaguars are not either. There was an official statement today by the Jaguars organization, if we can take a look at it on Jaguars.com.
I know, but we'll get to the statement in a second. Popcorn's not okay?
No, it's not.
I'm just asking.
Tony, it's not.
Okay. I don't think any of
it's not.
Okay, I'm asking.
It is not. No, I'm answering. It's not okay.
Peter, you okay with popcorn? Okay.
No, I'm not, but I will say this, though. When Navarro Bowman got hurt in Seattle in the playoff game, and he was taken off the field, the Seahawks fans threw popcorn at him.
Yeah, that's not cool. In all seriousness, I actually said, JP, right after the game, that there's no place in any professional sport for a fan. You can yell, you can scream, you do it all you want, but there's zero place. I don't care. I'm joking about the popcorn. I said it afterwards. I don't care if it's popcorn, if it's an empty plastic glass, ice. I don't care what it is. You have no right and no business throwing anything from the stands onto the playing field. It is dangerous, and it's ridiculous.
So the team today issued a statement that Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and team officials have been looking through the tape and interviewing fans in those areas to determine who it is, and they're in the process. Here's a partial piece of the statement if you're watching on Jaguars.com. And according to the fan code of conduct, those individuals...
Are you going to read this whole thing?
I am. This is a small portion of it, Tony. They're being identified. They'll be contacted. If they are season ticket holders, they'll immediately have their season ticket member privileges revoked indefinitely. Those who purchase single game tickets will indefinitely lose the option to purchase tickets through the Jaguars or their affiliates. In addition, each will be banned from attending Jags games in the future. So they're in the process of figuring it out.
I like that. I like that, but I'm playing devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. What's to stop somebody from buying four season tickets and giving one to one of those guys and he can go to the game?
Or buying tickets as from the scalpers.
Right.
Right.
Nothing.
There's nothing you could do. So don't throw anything.
No, you don't.
But I want to say also, no, you never throw anything. That's terrible.
Never.
The players are wrong in this situation as well. But I want to say this too. All of a sudden, people look at it, there's Jacksonville again. That's just Jacksonville. It's a bad look for Jacksonville. Look, it was one or two idiots. It's not the audience that goes to those games, okay? There are always idiots in every crowd. There are always things thrown from crowds all across the National Football League. To make this an incident that makes it look bad for Jacksonville is absolutely stupid and misguided. It's no different.
Well, here's the thing, Pete. If what's the kid's name who went in there? Kennedy?
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
You'll get one of the presidents.
One of the presidents.
Clinton.
Adams.
If he wouldn't have
Roosevelt.
If he would have just walked into the locker room and did not try to go into the stands, it would not have been a story. Because, like Pete's point, it happens all the time. I mean, can't tell you how many times people would throw popcorn or stuff at us as we're walking in, you know, old Three Rivers. And the funny thing to me is
Oakland.
Yeah,
how about Oakland?
Give me a break. And the funny thing is, to Pete's point, the national media is making it this like crisis. It's like, did anyone bemoan when Pete just brought it up? Seattle fans are throwing out an injured player stuff. No one said a word because the player didn't try to go into the stands. Right. That's where it became a story, and that's why it's a big deal. But the real big deal, and which is unfortunately getting overlooked a little bit, is what Michael Bennett did, and Leonard Fournette's response, all those guys' response, I'm fine with. I would have lost my mind as well. I mean, it's ridiculous what Michael Bennett did. And he's the Walter Payton Man of the Year for the Seahawks. As well.
Yes, he is. We'll come back. Second hour of Jaguars Money around the corner. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1 is the number. We'll get the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. He's out to all his followers right now.
Yes. You know what the funny thing, the interesting thing is, too?
Yeah.
Is I Michael Bennett, I've talked with him. He's a great guy. That's what was so disappointing, because I actually enjoyed Michael Bennett, talking to him off the field and about football, and very smart. And for him to do that just is very disappointing.
Back in a moment. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think it's a little bit of people aren't used to getting beat like that by the Jaguars, and I think, kind of to the first part of what you said is, there's no reason to take anything from anybody. We just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes. I think obviously you got to be smart and understand the situation and what's going on and not do anything stupid, but, I think this team definitely plays with a little bit of an edge.
Blake Bortles They're not going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore, he says.
Isn't there a song around that?
Yes. J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, second hour, Jaguars Monday. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1. We'll get to your calls coming up. The Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. There are plenty of candidates rolling in, and we'll get to that coming up. Pro Football Focus grades, I'm sure. I like a quarterback who talks like that. He's confident right now. He's backing up his team a little bit. We just beat the crap out of you for 60 minutes. They don't want to get pushed around anymore, these Jaguars. It's a different group of Jags right now.
Let me ask you something. You guys, what do you think of the throwing down the coach on the other sideline?
What?
You didn't see, what was it? Patman threw down one of their coaches on the other sideline during a scrum over there.
Really? I missed it.
I missed that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he threw during that. Remember that scuffle on the sideline between the teams over there on their sideline, I think it was? And one of their coaches came out and was, like, trying to separate or you know how coaches can sometimes get a little too aggressive, and he threw him to the ground.
I don't remember seeing that. Wow.
Yeah. That's not a good look either, though.
That's the first I've heard of.
The coach shouldn't put his hands on a player either.
Yeah, you put your hands on a player, be ready.
Right. You didn't.
Don't want none. Don't start none.
You really didn't see that because that happened.
Really no.
Go back and look at the scrum on the sideline, and you'll see it. He threw him down to the ground.
Who was that? Was it the Steelers?
I think it was Patman.
Was it Porter who came out a couple years ago? Steelers, right? What was that?
Yes, Joey Porter got into it with the Bengals in the playoff game.
That's right. That's right.
And it led to a
change the rule.
Personal foul.
It led to a
personal foul on Pac-Man Jones. Remember for getting into an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that set him up for the winning field goal.
Pete, we got some really good questions, tweets of the from Twitter. Where does Pete hide the pot of gold?
I think that's the recurring evergreen question.
The leprechaun question. Week.
Oh, yeah. Is that okay? I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to bring it
it's
up.
It's not funny. It's old. Come up with new material.
Is that the only one you had, Tony? I thought you had a long list of great questions, and that's the one you drop on us.
I'm sorry.
Great job. We'll get to the official Twitter question coming up in a little bit.
There's one more I wanted to share
with you. Let's share it.
I can't find it.
What's wrong with you?
He doesn't know how to use his computer yet. He hasn't graduated.
Does Pete have blocks on pedals and sit on books to drive?
Great. I'm 5'6". What more you want? I'm short. There's nothing I can do about it.
We didn't say we didn't say how wide you were, Pete. They're asking how tall you are.
I don't care about being short. I care more about being wide.
All right, let's
go. I mean, somebody took time to actually try. And
I know,
like,
that's what
I'm saying. And he put it on the air too, Pete. How about that?
Here's a good one. So, could the Jags be walking to a classic trap game against the Texans?
Ooh.
You know what? I was doing some game previews today here at CBS, and I mentioned that a young team that's coming off an emotional win, that they have to be careful in that spot.
You know the reason I would agree with you. In most cases, you know why I don't think it is this time, Pete? Is because if they win, they're in the playoffs.
Plus, they're playing T.J. Yates.
Right. Well, there's nobody left on the Houston Texans, right? That's the bigger issue.
Well, that is the bigger issue.
They're 11.5-point favorites.
But you're playing. You get, trap games is you come off an emotional game like Pete just said, and you have an opponent that you should beat easily. And there's another game ahead, you know, so it's this in between kind of moment. And that's not the case here because with the playoffs on the line and being able to, you know, clinch a playoff spot, which is the first time in 10 years, I think that will really energize the team and focus them.
They announced that as a sellout yesterday. Did it look like a sellout?
The lower bowls were packed. The upper decks were probably 80% full.
How did it sound, like the old days?
It was loud. It was rocking. It was rocking.
It reminded me of a game. Remember when Miami played, the University of Miami played, who was it? Notre Dame, maybe? And the place was rocking on a Saturday night, sold out. And Kirk Herbstreit made a point. Well, next week, make sure there's not 40,000 for your next game. Don't you have to worry about that this week, that there might not be the same crowd?
I hope the fans come, because it was such a great atmosphere. And this team is doing everything you – what else can you ask from it on the field to do?
They got 9 wins.
I mean, so we've asked for them to win. They're winning. And I hope the fan base responds like they did this past Sunday and show up and have the same exact crowd. I don't care who you're playing. It should be like that every week, no matter who you play. If your team's performing the way they are and they're fun to watch, they're exciting, they've got a lot of young talent, playmakers. I hope so, Pete. I really hope so.
I mean, because you would like to think that it's going to, you know, just because it's the Texans and they're not a very good team, that you don't go back. But I think that the crowd is young enough that it won't. You know, back in the day, when you guys played, Tony, I used to call it the wine and cheese crowd. Everybody wanted to go and be seen. You know, it was new, it was trendy, it was everything else. This crowd, these, you know, Jacksonville's younger kids who grew up with you guys back in the day are now season ticket holders, and they're not, you know, they're passionate about the team. And so it might not be as big a group as it once was, but I think it's a far more passionate group. I think all those, like, the Bold City Brigade and all those guys, that's good for the team. That's all good for them.
All right, we've got our Twitter question of the night in. Max, I don't know if you have that ready yet or not.
Or when do we do PFF?
Or we can do Pro Football Focus. Let's do PFF
Let's
first.
Go.
Let's do Pro Football Focus. Okay. We'll get the Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night coming up in a moment.
All right, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys in the green on offense, and one guy is the highest rated by about 4 percentage points. Who's the highest rated?
You got to be Bortles, doesn't it?
Bingo. You got it right. Who's second, Tony?
Keelan Cole.
No, but he's in the green. Who's second? Somebody on the offensive line.
Linder was outstanding.
They gave A.J. Cann the highest grade on the offensive line.
I'll be honest with you. I thought the entire offensive line should be in the green.
They gave Cam Robinson a negative grade, but penalty, they gave him a big negative in penalties.
He had 2 penalties. But I would have given them – one hit, and you rush for 143 yards.
Right.
Come on.
I don't get their grading.
That's stupid.
I don't get their grading. They gave Parnell a really good grade in pass protection.
He was outstanding the whole day. If you give up one hit, zero pressures, zero sacks, and rush for 143 yards, right? Was that the number for 143?
That was a lot. Yeah, 156.
Right. 156 yards. Right. Then everyone is green up front.
157.
Would you agree that Cann was the best run blocker?
I'd probably say Linder.
Okay, well, they disagree with you, but okay.
And my guess is they don't watch it all 22, and my guess is they don't understand the schemes and what everything that's happening. It's my guess.
Bohannon got a good grade.
He was very good.
Marquise Lee got a good grade.
Very good. Westbrook was good. He was good.
Westbrook got a good grade. That's pretty much the offense.
Yeah. Leonard Fournette rushed for over 100 yards. I hope he'd get a good grade.
Didn't get a bad grade, didn't get a good grade.
Yeah, great. It's great grading. Okay.
All right, let's go to the defense. Ooh, there's some more red in here than I expected to see.
Secondary had some red.
The busts.
Okay. Barry Church and Gibson both had red. The corners were in green. So somebody got a negative grade for those busts who we couldn't figure out who the bust was on.
And I guarantee they don't know either, Pete.
They obviously can figure it out, right?
They have no idea.
Colvin got a good grade. Do you think he played well?
Yeah. He got away with one that might have put him in the negative on the holding penalty that wasn't called.
Okay, the highest graded guy on defense was who?
Malik Jackson.
No doubt. And one of the highest grades of the season, I think. And we said that about a month and a half ago, didn't we, that he wasn't the same player in the last month?
The last two weeks he's been dominant, Pete. Dominant.
Outstanding.
His mic'd up is available on Jaguars.com, by the way. He wore a mic yesterday.
I thought Dante Fowler,
big negative.
Yeah, I didn't think he played very well. He had 2 bad penalties. Mm. He got reached in the run game a few times. It was not one of Dante's best games.
Well, why is he always the one that goes hands to the face?
Bad habit.
He has a tendency to get his hands up there all the time.
His hands are high.
Watch him.
It's bad technique. Mm. That's all it is. Undisciplined.
Miles Jack got a negative.
Yeah, I would have said, just flat.
Avery Jones got a negative.
Okay.
And everybody else was
Puz,
okay.
Puz got, had to get a green.
He was green, correct. Yeah. High green, yeah. High green. And then Marcel Darius was a negative. Minus, not a big negative, but almost in the red. You agree with that? Made a couple plays.
I would have said flat.
Yeah. And Ngakoue was positive in pass rush and almost to the green in the overall
game. He plays so hard. It was a great matchup watching him and Dwayne Brown go at it. Very good matchup. Two very good players.
You know, in the last month, Dante Fowler's kind of gone the opposite direction.
He hasn't done much, Pete, has he?
No. It's weird because he looked like early in the season he had taken his game up a notch, and the last month it's gone backward.
It's plateaued and maybe a little decrease.
Yeah, I think it's decreased. I don't think he's been as good.
Let's do the Twitter question tonight so we get some phone calls.
Let's get the Tony what is your name? Tony Baselli Twitter question of the night.
Why haven't we sponsored this yet? There has to be someone who
That's
wants to pay,
question.
Pay me money.
Tonight's question is from...
Then they can you can hear you read Caramelized Onions, because I heard you say that on the last one.
Is there a G in there somewhere? I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know what he said. I don't think it was Caramelized Onions, though.
It was. That's right.
This is from at Chad Kuhn. Is Doug Marrone the coach of the year? It's hard to think of a more deserving coach this year.
Right now, I would. There'd be two guys I think I'd have as the two top. I mean, Belichick's there. He should be there every year. He does it. What they've done with that defense is remarkable. I mean, remarkable.
What we saw in training camp.
They're not very talented. Ooh. So I'm going to give you more than two. I would put Belichick in that conversation. Doug Marrone's in it. I put Doug Peterson for the Eagles,
yep.
And he'll be tested like no other down the stretch. And Sean McVay. Those would be the four guys I would in my book, those are the four guys who are in the running down the stretch with 3 weeks to go.
McVay? Who'd you say? Who are the other two?
McVay, Peterson, Marrone, and Belichick.
What about Zimmer?
Oh, good call. So that was five, Zimmer. You're right. Pete. I said,
yeah,
he's okay, you're right.
Yeah,
those five.
Yeah, I would. Marone's in the conversation, but you got to give half the award to Coughlin and half to Marone.
That's not fair.
Stop
That's
it, Pete.
I've made that joke a bunch this year, you know. But I gotta give it to Doug Marone because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't real sure about him as the head coach. He's done a heck of a job with that team.
Done a very good job. Give him credit. And my guess is Tom Coughlin will win Executive of the Year.
A sweep, huh?
Well,
why not? I mean,
he's going to be in the conversation for Executive of the Year. I promise you that.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah, he will be for sure. So will Les Snead, depending on how they finish out.
Yeah,
so
we got three games left, so you have to see how this thing plays out.
Howie Roseman, if the Eagles continue to win with Nick Foles.
If they win with Nick Foles, it's probably going to be Peterson's award.
They won't win with Nick Foles.
I said if.
They play the Giants. They play the Giants this week, though.
Okay, let's.
Maybe they will win with Nick Foles.
Yeah, but do you think they can? They can't win at all without him. But you're right. I think Doug's in the conversation. I don't think there's any question about that.
I don't know who the
Eagles. This team was supposed to win. I thought they'd be fortunate to win six games. They're probably going to win 11.
The over under in Vegas was six.
Right, so they're in the conversation.
For entertainment purposes only.
I'm giving context.
I know, I'm with you. I know.
I mean,
yeah. For entertainment purposes only. We'll come back. Phone calls.
We're not going to do any right now?
No, we'll come right back.
Out of time.
We're out of
break.
Time. I'm going to read this thing. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back. Why are you reading it?
I want to read it.
All right.
Let him read it.
Microphone again.
He'll flub it. He's going to flub it.
Oh, Jack Handy is outie.
Try it.
Oh, he flubbed it.
Hurry up.
Audi. I didn't flub it.
Read the card.
Check out Jack Andy's Audi. Jacksonville on Blaine.
He did. He flubbed it. He said it right there. He said Audi.
Audi.
You said Audi.
Check out Jack Andy's Audi.
Yeah.
Check out Jack Andy's Audi, Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for details.
This is like a LeBron breakaway. Easy as can be, Pete. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
What Jalen said earlier this week, you know, everybody want to joke about it, but we've been talking about that since we played Pittsburgh. We don't get respect. You know, they say Roethlisberger was retiring, Flacco didn't have it. Usually a lot of stuff like that, and then we just went up against a player who all week they said was an MVP candidate, so I just can't wait to see what they say about that.
There's AJ Boye telling it like it is in the locker room last night after the Jags win 30-24. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, and it's time for calls, 355-NFL-1. We start off in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Trevor on the line again. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
Great. Victory Monday. How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah, of course, Victory Monday. And I had to call, and I know Tony's not going to like this, but I got to give some props to Pete over there because for the past few weeks, he's been saying that if the Jags were to throw early on offense, then it'd give confidence to Bortles and open up the run game. And sure enough, the last 2 weeks, that seems to be happening.
I'm smart, and I know offense.
That's what I just had to say. I know it's only two games so far in a row for Bortles, but, I mean, they must be listening to Pete over there because...
No, let me assure you of one thing, is they're not listening to Pete.
Why? The head coach, the president and general manager used to listen to me back in the president and vice president of football operations used to listen to me back in the day, and he'd get angry with me. So he obviously listened, right? He didn't agree with me. He didn't follow what I said, but he listened.
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone's listening to you anymore, Pete.
Yeah, then good. Then that means I have no chance to get you in the Hall of Fame.
Oh wait,
wait a minute! The table is turned. Let's go to Mandy.
I didn't say. I guess I should restate that. I listened to you, Pete. How about that?
No. You said nobody's listening to you anymore. Is what you said. So I guess you're done. That means you're not going in.
And hopefully, the 40 people in the room still listen to him. That would be nice. Let's go to Mandarin. Darren on the line. Good evening, Darren. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, guys. A couple of quick comments. Pete, I'll have to agree with you that when that coach got knocked down on the field, I just knew for sure that somebody was going to get tossed in. You could tell watching the entire game that the officials were going to let them play chippy, but they absolutely, in my opinion, one of the worst games I saw as far as officials being in control of the game. You could tell that there was going to be a fight eventually, and it was, I thought it was bad all the way around. They didn't seem to have leadership of the game. That was the first comment. Other comment is Al Michaels last night made a comment on Sunday Night Football that Jacksonville is a team you don't want to see. And I'm not – it's very refreshing to hear locally around everyone's talking about who we don't want to see in the playoffs. Well, it's obvious this defense is going to get theirs. And I don't think anybody does want to see this team. And so I'll hang up with you guys. Enjoy the show.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
First, about the fight and all the stuff that happened during the game. Pete Carroll came out today. Greg Ball from Seattle. Pete was asked about Michael Bennett going to knees, and he just flat out said it was wrong. But Michael Bennett was wrong. He came and Pete got some criticism for coming on the field. I thought it was the right thing. The game was out of control. The game was over.
Right.
And he
only guys that could settle his guys was down was him.
So he
Nobody
ran
else
out of the field, took the 15-yarder, didn't care, and told them you could, and very aggressively, knock it off. And so I don't put that on the coaches because I don't put it on the coaches for Doug when our guys get fired up. And, I mean, it's an emotional game. That's what one of the things that drives me crazy sometimes about fans, and I love our fans. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not talking about fans in Jacksonville, just overall, is we say we want our players to care and we want them to be emotional and we want the, and then they get emotional and they care, but they go over a little bit and they said, somebody's got to get them under control. And my question for everyone listening, have you ever been really emotional about something and really cared about something and then it either went really good or really bad? How controlled are you? If you're really emotional. Now, I'm not saying it's okay, but sometimes when you're passionate and you're very emotional, it matters so much, you're going to – that line that you're not supposed to cross, is you're going to get right up to the edge, and that's what we want. You want to be on the edge. Sometimes you fall off a little bit. So let's not kill Pete Carroll or Doug Marrone or any of these coaches. What Michael Bennett did was wrong. He said it was wrong. He tried to get his guys under control.
Yes, I agree. And you know, you get caught up in the heat of the emotion.
Yeah, it's...
But and sometimes things happen. But going into the crowd,
Jefferson was stupid.
He's way out of line.
So then
and throwing a coach down is probably not a good look either. I mean, let's be honest.
But you lay hand. Don't lay your hands on them.
Ah, Tony. Come on, Tony.
So then,
that could lead to major.
No, yeah,
problems.
You don't want to do that. It's not right.
No,
I agree with you 100%, Pete. There. The second thing is what Al Michaels said. I don't know who locally is saying who we don't want to see. I mean,
well, you know, ideally you'd love to avoid New England. Come on, let's be honest about it.
No, I agree.
But on the other side, New England would probably ideally like to avoid Jacksonville. That sounds crazy to say that, but look at the history of the New England Patriots. Who has defeated the New England Patriots in the postseason? The Ravens, they went up there, they could hit them. The Giants, they hit them. The Broncos a couple years ago, they hit them.
Seattle.
What can the Jacksonville Jaguars do?
Seattle.
They hit them.
Seattle beat them in the Super Bowl?
They hit them.
So I said it, and everyone
They didn't beat them in the Super Bowl. They should have.
They beat them the first time in the Super Bowl, Pete, didn't they? No, you're right. I'm sorry. They lost.
Yard away,
they beat the Broncos, and they lost.
Right.
They lost. You're right. I'm sorry. Everyone laughed at me 3 weeks ago when I talked about this is a team that travels, and if they get in the playoffs, they're going to be dangerous. If they get any type of play from the quarterback, I said they will be dangerous because of this defense. And everyone laughed and said, oh, you're a homer.
Everyone did?
Not you. But Sunshine Pumper and all this stuff.
Where'd you hear that? Twitter?
Well, let's just keep going.
Oh, okay. I don't remember hearing that, Pete. You remember hearing
Pete
that?
Pete was a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. No.
Pete was dismissive.
There were times.
My point in saying all this, there's nobody in
now
the
you're Wait a second. Now you're trying to claim like you made this bold prediction that they would be a division winner and be a Super Bowl contender the season.
I said a few weeks ago, Pete. A few weeks ago we had this conversation.
So you
that was more like about a month. That was like more like 5 or 6 weeks ago when you proclaimed them.
Yeah, and you kind of hedged it. No, I'm not really picking it.
My point in saying it is this type of team gets into the playoffs, they're dangerous. And nobody was.
But if Blake Bortles wasn't playing like he's playing now, they weren't dangerous.
But still, even if Blake Bortles Blake's playing average, there's not a team that goes into the playoffs that wants to play the number one defense in the league. No one's going saying, hey, I want to go play the best defense in the league. That sounds like a lot of fun. No. So I think Al Michaels is right. This is a dangerous team they get in the playoffs. Got to stay healthy. Got 3 more weeks. They've been very fortunate on the defensive side. They've lost 2 starts this year from guys who are top line players on defense.
Telvin the last 2 weeks.
Two starts. That's remarkable.
Is he expected back this week or no?
They haven't said anything today.
Yeah,
Doug was not saying it today. So Alan Hearns too. Don't forget about him. Could be coming back in the mix.
Defense.
I know, but I'm saying offense as well.
I mean, Alan Hearns, sure. Where do you play? Who do you take off the field?
That's a great question, right? If he's able to get back at some point.
He's the fourth receiver.
That's the amazing thing about this offense right now. They're playing a rookie left tackle, a rookie runner, and 2 rookie receivers.
Yeah, and they're all playing well. I mean, that's immediate impact for guys. And it's the rookie receivers took a little time to get going, but they're going now. Cole and
Westbrook. Let's go to the next call.
And Keenan McCardell, somebody asked me on Twitter about Keenan McCardell, how much of the credit goes to him. I think a lot of it goes to him for the development of those young players. Don't you?
Yeah, he's doing an outstanding job. Absolutely. I think K-Mac's doing a great job.
Let's go to the phone lines again. In San Marco, Bob is on the air. Bob, what's up? Bob, you're on the air. Good evening.
Oh, thank you. Good evening. I'll try to make this brief, guys.
Please do.
In watching the game yesterday, the TV commentators at one point were talking about Blake's market improvement, especially of late this year, and they commented on his working with Nathaniel Hackett and then especially the quarterback's coach, and even specifically, and they showed a couple of shots of it, reference to his moving up in the pocket and his feet and so forth. So my question is, just coincidentally, during the game, I happened to be noticing all these long passes that Blake was throwing. And unlike previous times, especially early this year in training camp, there weren't any wobbles. They were beautiful spiral passes. Is that coincidental, or does that have to do with his feet and all that stuff?
It has everything to do with his feet.
Everything to do with his feet.
And yeah. Nathaniel Hackett's done a great job. Scott Milanovic has done an outstanding job of quarterback coach. The work that Blake did in the offseason on his own, I mean, it's all coming together. Hard work, you know, pays off. He's worked hard. He's being coached well, and you're seeing the results. But footwork's a huge part. His footwork historically has been atrocious. He's worked on it hard. He's been repping it, training it, and you can see it. And that's one of the reasons I think he's playing such good football right now.
By the way, did you see the stat that Tad Dickman sent out about week 14?
No.
And Jalen Ramsey retweeted it, so it's kind of funny. But in week 14, A.J. Boye was targeted 6 times and allowed 1 catch for 4 yards, 2 interceptions for a 0 passer rating. Jalen Ramsey was targeted 5 times and allowed 2 catches for 16 yards with an int for a 9.2 passer rating. If the quarterback spikes the ball on every play, he's got a 39.6 passer rating.
That's worse than spiking the ball every time.
Yes.
How about
that? Turned it over 3 times.
Wow. Hey, we'll come back. Phone line's still open, 355-NFL-1. Plenty more to discuss with Baselli and Prisco tonight. Jags win it 30-24 of the Seattle Seahawks. Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way on a fully guided behind-the-scenes private tour. See for yourself why the Travel Channel included Everbank Field on its list of bucket list destinations for football fans. Visit Jaguars.com. For more information, it's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Me and Marquise, we were just sitting on the bench at one point. We was looking, and it was like 10 to 30, and then out of nowhere, you know, the fumble came with Corey, and then the score was like tied up at one point, or we were up a few points, and then, boom, Mikas has the punt return, and so the game was like switching like none other. But it was exciting to play in. Very exciting.
D.D. Westbrook, Jaguars wide receiver, rookie from Oklahoma, the Biletnikoff Award winner. Heisman finalist last year's former teammate won it this year, by the way. Baker Mayfield for the Oklahoma Sooners. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shatterk, Tony Baselli, and Pete Prisco. The phone lines open. We touched on the rookie impact on offense, guys. And, yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, the left tackle started every game, fighting through an ankle issue. The running back is pushing for 1,000 yards now in his rookie season. And the two receivers have come on strong the last few weeks, and these guys have kept the offense afloat, I think. Not all by themselves, but they've had a big hand in it, these four guys.
The production.
I would like to have seen Westbrook play the entire season because you could see him growing week by week and getting more confident in what he's doing. If he was here the entire season, wow. I mean, because the kid's going to – he's talented. He's going to be a really good receiver.
Someone asked me, could he be Antonio Brown?
That's – you know, it's an interesting comparison. It really is. Now what is
he's not as thick as Antonio Brown.
No, he's not. He's not.
But wasn't Antonio Brown slider early in his career, Pete?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
And he trains like – I mean, Antonio Brown's training is legendary. 3 workouts a day in the off season. I mean, he is crazy when it comes to that stuff. They list D.D. Westbrook at 6'1", 178.
Yeah. So the question, listen, D.D. Westbrook has all the talent in the world. Is he going to work as hard as Antonio Brown or any of the great receivers? That's what makes someone great. It's not just talent. Everyone has talent in this league. And so is he a pro? I said the same thing about Cam Robinson, who I think is immensely talented. I mean, unbelievable talent. Love him. Love his attitude. But is he going to be a pro? Now, I'm not saying they're not. But they haven't had a chance to prove it. But that will determine the greatness of those players. If they're a pro, and then you have to be fortunate with the staying healthy.
And here's what I, being around the league as long as I've been around it, and you know you were around it too. But I would tell every one of those kids, hey guys, be a pro for 10 years, and enjoy the rest of your life after that. Make as much money as you can, and do whatever you can to become the greatest player you can. Because you know, Tony, it goes so fast that you know, sometimes I think the young players don't realize what they need to do or have to do until it's too late. And by that time, their talent is going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, so, and I'll say one more thing, and add one more thing, because all the things you just said are exactly right, and enjoy it. Because it'll be gone before you know it, and when it's gone, you don't get to do it again. Trust me. There's many a nights I lay there and think, golly, what did be able to do that again?
Let's get back to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1. We'll get through the final group of calls here. Michael in Sanford, Florida. Michael, good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's up?
Okay, so, Tony, I got a question for you. So I'm the guy that's calling about Pug last week, but this is a schematic
question.
You're
the one who you did what last week?
He called about Pugs last week, and angry at him.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so this is a schematics question. So instead of arguing whether he should be on the field or Jack's on the field, assuming Smith is on, let's say you're the coach and you're saying, hey, Pugs is doing so well, like, we need to have him on the field because he makes a difference. How would you have to change the scheme to do that? Like, what would the loss be in the secondary or the change of the scheme if you were trying to keep all three linebackers on the field?
So then you're going to take a safety off in nickel or not put the corner back in, Colvin and nickel, which you'll never do because none of those guys can cover. Like,
here's what you can do. Go back to 1970.
Yeah, I mean – I mean, make Telvin the strong safety and take Barry Church out? I mean, they're not going to do that. I mean, I love Puz. Puz has done an amazing job. But I'm sorry, when Telvin's back, it's going to be Telvin and Miles Jack and Nickel.
The game has changed.
Are you related
to
Puz?
The game has changed.
Are you Puz's, like, long-lost brother or something?
No, but if he hires me, I'll be his street team.
Okay, great. Wow.
That's outstanding. Puzz is outstanding.
Yeah.
And the value of him on this roster cannot be overlooked, what he's done the last 2 weeks. I mean, just remarkable play. And he had another great game yesterday.
First time he has been on a winning football team in his 11-year
career.
So
happy for him. Gosh, I'm happy for him.
He got to break down the team last night. Let's go to Argyle. Eric, you're on the air. What's up? Eric, you're on the air. What's up?
Turn your radio off,
hey.
Eric.
Sorry, guys. Hey, I know. Hey, that was a rookie mistake. Listen, real quick, are you guys at all troubled by the sort of American military propaganda that's crammed down your throat every Sunday down there at Altel Stadium? Sometimes when I'm in the stands, I feel like I'm at a Nazi.
That's enough.
Get this guy out of here. He used to call my radio show with stupidity.
What was he talking about?
I don't know. He's an idiot.
What did he say he wanted to talk about?
I don't know, but he used to call my radio show.
No, I know. But what did he list he wanted to talk about?
He was happy about Victory Monday.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, never call back, please.
Yeah.
No. And he used to call my show with some kind of crap, and I'd cut him off in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Don't call back, please.
Let's go. Let's upgrade. Let's go to the north side. Darren.
Hey, by the way, Eric, congratulations. You now have overtaken all the crappy calls we've ever gotten as the worst call ever. So you got that to hang on your mantle.
Darren, it can only go up from here. What's up? You're on the air.
How you fellas doing tonight?
Great. What's happening?
Good. What's up?
Awesome. You know what, man? I just wanted to chime in about the Jags, of course. I think it was, easily one of the most exciting games of the year for the team, especially in a long time. But I think what I really wanted to comment on is just how it was such a complete game. You know, with the last past couple of games, we could pinpoint how well the defense played. The secondary, of course, will point out how Calais is, you know, the line, defensive line is just, you know, really ripping it up. But every phase of the game, I mean, you could really just say they played incredible. You know, the offensive line, Blake Bortles, the special teams. So it was just a really, really complete game. And I just think that was a pretty awesome thing to be able to pinpoint. And I'll take my comments off the air.
I think you make a great point. I mean, and because this year, a lot of the times, outside of when we played a bad team, it's been one unit. And typically it's been the defense carrying it or the special teams. You know, and everyone's kind of overlooked the offense. But that was, and Doug said it yesterday, the most complete game they played all year because they all had their warts. Some issues, but they all contributed as well. So special teams start off really slow with penalties, but then they have the big punt return to set up a score. Offensively, you had a three and out to start, you know, only 3 points in the first half, but then you get going in the second half, put up the points you do. Defense was just unbelievable in the first half. Shutout, playing great, and then all of a sudden the fourth quarter you have some busts and coverages, and you spring a leaky dam. But then when it counts, you get a four and out and get off the field. And so it was really a team win where you can look at, there's things that each group can clean up, but you really can see the contribution throughout the game by every unit. So that was fun. It was a great experience, great game, great atmosphere. The fans were outstanding. A lot of fun. It was a fun moment.
Here's where you know this team is different. In years past, recent years, when there was a fumble and a kickoff and a team takes it next play and goes and gets a touchdown to tie the game up, they might have wilted. They didn't wilt. They threw a touchdown pass on the very next play.
Right.
I mean, in the past, that goes rotten, okay? And it, because even in that spot, defensively, you're supposed to get a stop there and hold a field goal, right? If you're the number one defense in the league, you're supposed to hold them to a field goal. So when that goes bad, then it's almost compounds the turnover, and it looks even worse. And then you come back on the very next play from scrimmage, and you hit that bomb. That tells you there's a difference about this team than in years past. A lot of difference, particularly with the quarterback. That play, to me, when you look back on the season, that might be the play where he became the guy that people expected him to become. That play.
Let's get one more call tonight. Southside, Mark is on the line. What's up?
Hello?
You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I was going to ask you a question real quick. When Pete Carroll got his penalty for going on the field, and they had already flagged him for unsportsmanlike conduct, how come they didn't assess both penalties?
Because the way the rule's written right now, you only can accept one of them. They're actually going to look at it this offseason in the competition committee, that if there's multiple unsportsmanlikes on one play, that they can enforce two. So it could be a 30-yard penalty in theory. I hope they don't do that. I think one's enough.
There you have it for the phone calls tonight. Thanks
for
calling
Tony,
in.
And that's in, like the other night in the Pittsburgh game last week against Cincinnati, when Smith-Schuster got flagged for going helmet to helmet.
Which I don't think it was even helmet to helmet, but go ahead.
Okay, but he got flagged for it, so he got 15 for that. And then he stood over and taunted him.
That's the penalty.
It should be both, though.
It's two separate things, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So basically...
if you have two holding penalties on one play, can you take both holding penalties?
No.
What's the difference,
Pete? Because one's a dead ball, foul. It happens after the fact.
What about if you have two dead ball fouls?
Well, okay.
Were you eating something?
Somebody on your team gets a dead ball penalty and gets 15 yards, then it's a free for all. Go get as many dead ball penalties as you
want. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you do it, Pete. You got to be smart. Don't be the first guy to get it.
They should get. You don't remember.
I'm joking, obviously.
I know, but do you remember the old 5 and 15 rule in the NFL when a 15-yard penalty would be enforced and overrule the 5-yard penalty? You don't remember that? The 5-15 rule?
No, I don't.
Like if there was a 5-yard penalty on one.
Oh, yeah, on one team, but someone else got a 15, the 15 would overrule the 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't do that anymore. Now they offset.
They're offsetting, right. Yep.
I still think hands to the face, by the way, is one of the most over. Penalized penalty in terms of what it is. You get an automatic first. You can have 3rd and 38. And a guy puts his hand on the face, sliding up on the mask, and it's automatic first down.
I've never played, obviously, but Tony, you have. What's it like to have a hand in your face? It's not fun, right?
It's not fun. I did it sometimes too.
I
don't think.
Is it worse than?
No, I don't think hands in the face should be an automatic. First down. The penalties that should be automatic first down are pass interference, holding. By the secondary,
yes.
Illegal contact by the secondary, because those possibly take away
big
plays.
You're impeding the play.
Yes,
right, you're impeding the play. A hand to the
face. And I guess,
what
about defensive holding by the defensive line?
No, that shouldn't be an automatic first down either.
And that should be 10 yards, not 5, too.
Right. But hands to the face, you're rushing a passer and a hand slips up and hits a guy in the face, and it's 3rd and 38, and all of a sudden it's
I agree.
Bad penalty.
I got one on Twitter tonight, Tony. You'll like this one. Why isn't Pete busy making toys? How about that one?
Well, I am. I'm going after we get off the show. I'm heading up to the North Pole, and I'm going to build a bunch of island of misfit toys from all the guys that have tweeted in those. That's because that's where they're from, the island of misfit toys.
You know what
Hey, look, I can play that game, guys. You want to play the insult game, I'm the king of that. He ain't winning.
Let's come back and go around the National Football
League. And I can tell
league.
You, I can tell you an honest story about that. Once there was an insult comic at the Super Bowl, and he was sitting in one of those dunk tanks, and some woman was throwing the fastballs at him, and he was insulting her to the point where she was almost crying. I moved her out of the way and got up there, and I made that guy almost cry on that thing. I told him, you're getting $3.50 an hour to get dunked into dirty water. What are you talking about? And he was getting so mad. I insulted the insult comic. So you want to play that game? Let's go.
We're a mess, Pete.
We'll wrap it up in a moment. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
And before we do the around the NFL music and my favorite part of the entire show with J.P. doing his Monday night get ready segment, whatever we call it. Pete, we got a birthday tomorrow. Mr. J.P. Shadrick.
Yeah.
Is turning 36 years of age tomorrow.
Young, 36
wow,
years.
Wow, happy birthday, JP.
Thank you very much.
I'm disappointed.
You don't look a day over 46. Well,
yeah, thanks. I was say, yeah, I know. Make me a toy, Pete.
Is aging the aging process
hey,
has not been.
You want to get on the island of misfit people too?
The aging process has not been nice to JP, but still, he's our friend and he's 36.
Wow. It's real nice,
and,
Tony.
In all seriousness, happy birthday, my friend.
Appreciate that. Yeah. What a day it's going to be.
Unfortunately, I'll be out of town tomorrow. I'll be there, but you will be having a birthday. Hey, Pete, when you're in town, what we need to do, you and I are going to take JP out. And I told him if he could get a date, we'll take our wives with us.
What is that supposed to be?
We'll take him out for a birthday dinner.
What the hell is that?
You know what we'll do, Tony?
That's a question
mark. When the Jaguars are in the Super Bowl, we'll take him out to a special dinner at the Super Bowl, right?
Ah. I'll be busy that week. I can't commit to that. Sorry.
Listen to this guy, Pete.
You commit to that. You walk around the press radio row all day.
Pete, will you be out there all week?
Yeah. What do you do all week?
I'm there all week. I'll either be there with the Jaguars or I'll be there with Westwood One. One way or another.
And you walk around all day. You have plenty of time to go to dinner. So, and JP will be there because the Jaguars are going to be there, right, Tony? You put him there already.
I did. Well, I the dinner I'm talking about is we're going to pay for JP's dinner. Super Bowl week, Yeah, but Super Bowl week, I get enough. I like the free dinners, Pete.
I'm good with free dinners, too. I mean, come on.
I don't know if they want to pay for
you. What would you rather have? All the free? What would you,
I'm just saying, for the record.
What would you rather have? All the free dinners Super Bowl week or a knock on the door from Mr. Baker?
Ah.
You know the answer to that, Pete.
I think the knock's coming this year. Better have a party suite for the summer. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Better have a party suite in Canton.
I like that. Yes. What a week that would be. Hall of Fame game. Tony going in. Jaguars probably playing an extra game.
Super Bowl.
They'll be getting their Super rings.
Super Bowl. Sizing.
Fitting for rings.
Yes.
God, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Love it. Let's go.
It's so much more fun. But, you know, it's so much fun. We can say whatever we want because we have nothing to do with it. Zero. Zilch to do with it. But we can sure talk about it.
Let's go around the National Football League, recap the games from Week 14, starting off with the Snow Bowl in Buffalo.
Pete, why did you – you were kind of – and Peter King went after you on Twitter. You were a little curmudgeon about – you didn't like that game.
That's not football, Tony. It's a survival test. Why do people love – imagine if that was an important game between two really good teams. It's a sloppy garbage football game. It's terrible. Play the game. It's not football.
The Tuck Rule game was a game like that,
no,
Pete.
It wasn't
that
like
wasn't
that.
In that
no,
kind of stuff.
That was different. Tuck game was snowy, bad weather, but you could see the grass. That was
it was
that was like
Army Navy.
That was like a foot of snow.
I mean, it was more like the Tuck Rule game was more like Army Navy on Saturday,
right,
which
okay.
I didn't
right.
mind. This was awful. This was terrible.
That the game reminded me of growing up in Colorado and Boulder. Whenever it snowed, we'd have full tackle football games with all our buddies and family members. Got a big family, I mean, full on just knocked it because you couldn't go fast enough. And you played
gonna hurt anybody,
oh, it was
right.
great. Yeah, sure. It was so much fun.
Sure.
Yeah, so I enjoyed bad. It because it reminded me of those days, but Pete, he's a curmudgeon. He didn't like it.
No, I didn't like it. I want to see a football game. I don't want to see that garbage.
I'm not shocked by that at all. Panthers over the Vikings.
Great
yesterday.
Football game.
How about that?
Great football game. I think this weekend was the best weekend of NFL football all the way around.
By far and away. By far. We were sitting there in the green room. We had all the games on at 1 o'clock as they were coming to a conclusion. It was fantastic. Then you had the Rams game with the drama with Carson Wentz going out and Jacksonville and the fights and everything. And then even in the Sunday night, it was by far and away the best Sunday. By far and away.
Browns couldn't get it done. Packers in overtime.
They're up 21-7.
So like the Cleveland Browns to blow a 21-7 lead at
Pete,
home,
do
right?
you think John Dorsey's going to keep Hugh Jackson?
Yeah, I do for a year.
Well, the owner
I
said do. He's going to be the coach
next year. The
owner
came
already.
Out and said he's going to keep him.
Yeah. But
so
you
he'll
know,
keep him for a year.
You know what that means, Pete.
What?
Just because the owner gives a vote of confidence to somebody doesn't
I think
mean
he keeps
anything.
Him for Tony, I think he keeps him for a year, and then he'll get his own guy in there.
Yeah, all right.
You know, what do the Giants do? I mean, they got to hire a coach, too.
That's true.
And a GM.
Very true, yeah.
We're talking about the ex-
The coach GM might have been in my hotel today. The coach GM combo, Nick Sirianni and Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
Possibly. The 49ers over the Texans, 26-16. How about the Tom Savage concussion issue, Pete?
Terrible. Terrible look for the league. You cannot allow a guy in that situation to go back into the game.
How do you get cleared? You must have passed the test.
I don't know. But whoever passed that guy on that test should have their medical license taken away.
And how did they not have that angle to see in the video on the side?
Here's my thing.
He was doing the turtle.
Or just watch the damn game.
I understand that, but here's my whole thing. Is if you're on the sidelines, I've been on sidelines, Pete. You miss a lot. You don't see things.
True.
It's hard to see. I mean, I've done sideline games as a media member. You miss
Can't
things.
Can't see, right, yeah.
And so when the game's going on, I mean, Bill O'Brien didn't see, and I believe Bill O'Brien. And the medical doctor's not seen every hit and every play, and the guy's in the far end zone back there. And so I'm just saying you miss it. But here's the question. He obviously passed the test. So my question is this, Pete. If you get hit like that, and obviously you got some issues when you're doing the robot man and or stiff, you know, he's stiff as a board. It's not good look at all, not healthy. But you get up and you come off the field and you pass the concussion test. Should you be allowed to go back in?
I mean, now John Beeston told me yesterday that now, and this I guess wasn't going on when you were playing, but these guys know the concussion test, so you kind of memorize it before the season. Is that true?
I don't know. We didn't even have a concussion test. They looked,
yeah.
they looked at you and said, count to 10 and go back in.
So like your baseline early
if you
in
got
the season,
to three,
you know
good.
The test. Yeah, yeah. So I don't.
Still debatable look, for you.
Yeah. So my question is, though, Pete,
tell him to say caramelized onions when he's going through
caramelized
his concussion
onions.
Test.
If you pass the test, if you pass the test, should you be allowed to go back in?
No. You got to look at it from a – I mean
– why? Tony. What's the test for then?
Yeah. Well, if he's glazed in his eyes and his eyes are rolling in his head but he passes it, you going to put him back in?
Well, if you pass it, I'm sure there's – but no, there's eye
test. There's
got
to be more than just
test. There's vision. They do the whole thing. But if you pass all that, why can't you go back in?
Well,
isn't there an independent –
yeah,
guy that watches video feeds of guys on the field? And how did he not see that video feed?
That one, I don't know how they missed that.
Well, how's that?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's a great
question.
Bad.
That's a bad look for the league. A
couple other notes from yesterday. Thanks, Blaine. Cardinals beat the Titans 12-7. The Broncos over the Jets. The Chargers are hot. They've won four straight since losing here in Jacksonville. Eagles in a great game over the Rams, but Carson Wentz done with the ACL. And what about those Steelers? Wow, last night.
The Eagles-Rams game. Pete, I mean, we were playing, but just following the score, it seemed pretty entertaining back and forth.
Yeah, and the Rams blocked a punt for a touchdown to take the lead. But, you know, they responded a bunch of times. It was a really good game. I was surprised at how the defense didn't play very well, you know. Hey, by the way, somebody mentioned to me today in the league, which is kind of everybody was killing the Browns for not drafting Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson.
Both are out.
Yeah. Deshaun Kaiser actually played pretty good. Kaiser played pretty good yesterday. Well, I mean,
they fired Sashi already. I mean, come on. What are we doing? Yeah.
Bring him back. Him back.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football. It's a battle in the AFC East. The New England Patriots at 10-2 head to South Florida without Rob Gronkowski. They'll face the 5-7 Miami Dolphins. The Patriots clinch the division with a win at Hard Rock Stadium. Who you got tonight?
I love it. This is an easy one. The Dolphins stink, and the Patriots have Tom Brady. They win easily.
I agree with you. I think this is an easy game for the Patriots, although they've traditionally had problems in South Florida. But it was very cool tonight for the Patriots, by the way. It's very cool down here.
Do they have trouble because they hit South Beach the night before? Is that why?
No, he keeps them in Fort Lauderdale in the hotel I stay in, which is in the middle of nowhere over by my office.
Where are you
staying?
A Motel 6?
Are you at the Westin?
It's a Marriott.
Westin? Oh, it's not the Westin right there?
No, it's a Marriott. You know where the Westin is, huh, Tom?
Yeah.
Is the Marriott the beachfront one? Is that the
I know? Because I've been to Lauderdale a few times, Pete, and I think we stayed there one time. No, I used to when I did whenever Westwood One had a game down there, and I worked for Westwood, we'd stay at that Westin.
On Cypress Creek. Yep. Yeah. It's right up by my office. Yep.
Pete, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, next week it'll be they'll be in the playoffs, right?
They'll be in the if they win.
Unless they get upset in a big way.
No,
which I don't see any
upset.
Chance of them losing this game.
No way. No way.
All right, Pete Prisco.
See you guys.
Tony Boselli, Max Hockman, Dave DeCandis, Scott Kushner stepping in tonight.
Scott, great job. Hollywood, not his best night. We had some issues we're going to have to talk about afterwards.
I'm JP Shadrick.
Make sure you see the coach.
Thanks for listening. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.